Last night, we did a service that we chanted a poem by the third patriarch, Seng Khan, who was a student of Waco. And apparently, he was a leper, and he also, because of the turmoil in China at the time, even though there was a lot of Buddhism going on, he was on the run a lot and wandered about, and he transmitted the Dharma to a 14-year-old boy that became his student. What we chanted was called Zinzin Ming, and it's an interesting poem that I'm not going to read here, but I have some copies of it if people are interested. But in my readings recently, here I should be talking about the new year and everything, but this is, to me, relevant. Red Pine, whose American name is Bill Porter, in his book Zen Passages, recounts a letter that came to Waco, the second patriarch, from a fellow named Layman Singh, Layman Siang, who, it's possible he became this third patriarch, and that's why I mention him. This was the mid-6th century when apparently this was written, and this is what he wrote. Our body creates a shadow, and our voice produces an echo. And yet people exhaust their body to chase their shadow without realizing that their shadow comes from their body. And people raise their voice to stop its echo, unaware that the echo comes from their voice. Getting rid of affliction to attain nirvana is like trying to find one's shadow apart from one's body. Getting rid of affliction to attain nirvana is like trying to find one's shadow apart from one's body. And abandoning one's humanity to achieve Buddhahood is like stilling one's voice to listen for its echo. Thus we know that delusion and awareness are the same, and ignorance and wisdom aren't different. From what has no name, we make names. And once we have names, right and wrong appear. From what has no principle, we make principles. And once we have principles, arguments arise. Illusions aren't real. So what is right and who is wrong? Delusions aren't true. So are they empty or do they exist? And Layman Siang concludes, he says, I would know how to gain what cannot be gained.
I will now read the entire Zinzin Ming poem by the third patriarch. There is nothing difficult about the great way, but avoid choosing. Only when you neither love nor hate does it appear in all clarity, a hair's breadth of deviation from it, and a deep gulf is set between heaven and earth. If you want to get hold of what it looks like, do not be anti or pro anything. The conflict of loathing and longing, that is the disease of the mind. Not knowing the profound meaning of things, we disturb our original peace of mind to no purpose. Perfect like great space, The way has nothing lacking, nothing in excess. Truly, because of our accepting and rejecting, we have not the suchness of things, neither follow after nor dwell with the doctrine of the void. If the mind is at peace, these wrong views disappear of themselves. When activity is stopped and passivity obtains, this passivity again is a state of activity. Remaining in movement or quiescence, how shall we know the One? Not thoroughly understanding the unity of the way, both activity and quiescence are failures. If you get rid of phenomena, all things are lost. If you follow after the void, you turn your back on the selflessness of things. The more talking and thinking, the further away from the truth. Cutting off all speech, all thought, there is nowhere you cannot go. Returning to the root, we get the essence. Following after appearances, we lose the spirit. If only for a moment we see within, we have surpassed the emptiness of things. Changes that go on in this emptiness all arise because of our ignorance. Do not seek for the truth. Religiously avoid following it. If there is the slightest trace of this and that, the mind is lost in a maze of complexity. Duality arises from unity. Do not be attached to this unity. When the mind is one and nothing happens, everything in the world is unblameable. If things are unblamed, they cease to exist. If nothing happens, there is no mind. When things cease to exist, the mind follows them. When the mind vanishes, things follow it. Things are things because of the mind. The mind is the mind because of things. If you wish to know what these two are, they are originally one emptiness. In this void, both mind and things are one. All the myriad phenomena contained in both. If you do not distinguish refined and coarse, how can you be for this and against that? The activity of the Great Way is vast. It is neither easy nor difficult. Small views are full of foxy fears. The faster, the slower. When we attach ourselves to the idea of enlightenment, we lose our balance. We infallibly enter the crooked way. When we are not attached to anything, all things are as they are. With activity, there is no going or staying. Obeying our nature, we are in accord with the way. Wandering freely without annoyance, when our thinking is tied, it turns from the truth. It is dark, submerged, wrong. It is foolish to irritate your mind. Why shun this and be friends with that? If you wish to travel in the true vehicle, do not dislike the six dusts. Indeed, not hating the six dusts is identical with real enlightenment. The wise man does nothing. The fool shackles himself. The truth has no distinctions. These come from our foolish clinging to this and that. Seeking the mind with the mind, is not this the greatest of all mistakes? Illusion produces rest and motion. Illumination destroys liking and disliking. All these pairs of opposites are created by our own folly. Dreams, delusions, flowers of air. Why are we so anxious to have them in our grasp? Profit and loss, right and wrong, away with them once and for all. If the eye does not sleep, all dreaming ceases naturally. If the mind makes no discrimination, all things are as they really are. In the deep mystery of this things as they are, we are released from our relation to them. When all things are seen with equal mind, they return to their nature. No destruction by analogy is possible of this state where all relations have ceased. When we stop movement, there is no movement. When we stop resting, there is no rest. When both cease to be, how can the unity subsist? Things are ultimately, in their finality, subject to no law. For the accordant mind in its unity, individual activity ceases. All doubts are cleared up. True faith is confirmed. Nothing remains behind. There is not anything we must remember. Empty, lucid, self-illuminated, with no overexertion of the power of the mind, this is where thought is useless. This is what knowledge cannot fathom. In the world of reality, there is no self, no other than self. Should you desire immediate correspondence with this reality, all that can be said is no duality. When there is no duality, all things are one. There is nothing that is not included. The enlightened of all time and places have entered into this truth. Truth cannot be increased or decreased. An instantaneous thought lasts a myriad years. There is no here nor there. Infinity is before our eyes. The infinitely small is as large as the infinitely great. For things are non-existent things. The infinitely large is as small as the infinitely minute. No eye can see their boundaries. What is not. What is not is. Until you have grasped this fact, your position is simply untenable. One thing is all things. All things are one thing. If this is so for you, there is no need to worry about perfect knowledge. The believing mind is not dual. What is not dual is not the believing mind. Beyond all knowledge, for it is there is no past, no future, no present.